Let's do Dave's Big Dick Chenery.
Extry, tell all about it. It's Dave's Big Dictionary.
Here it is, the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, that earlier in the show, my wife, my darling and adorable wife, and I say that especially because she just tuned in, my lovely and fantastic and sexy and amazing and brilliant wife, Joyce. She's giving me all these thumbs up now. What else can I say about her? My genius, fantastic, unbelievable, loving, kind, tremendous, revivifying, glorious wife, Joyce. Oh, wow, yes. Yeah, my loving, intensely fantastic, I said that. Because she's always wanting me to think of these compliments for her, and I'm always saying the same ones, so now I'm on the spot. Let me see if I can find other words in this dictionary. My tender wife, she's not a tramp, not going to put that one up there, unbiased, my vapor-locking wife, for those of you who like Frank Zappa, my yodeling wife, Joyce, Joyce says right back at you, maybe I'll get a foreign word for her, I don't know what that is, and I can't also read these words, because it's, my journal in time wife. Well, she used to journal. She used to do that. Let's see. My dope wife, in like a good sort of urban way. There's a good word for you. My cowbird? What? No, let's not go there. Caravansary wife. Is that a good thing? What is caravansary? I love dictionaries. I do. Caravansary means an inn in eastern countries where caravan rest for the night. Well, she is my caravan in the night where I rest my weary head, and she protects me and she cares for me. So she is my caravansary of a wife. I know, I'm pushing there. I'm stretching quite a bit. Okay, I think we've got it. I think we've... Golden. That's the last one. My golden wife, Joyce, who picked a very different word for Dave's Big Dictionary this Saturday. The word she picked is reef. R-E-E-F, reef, and her fingers specifically landed on the third definition in the dictionary, which means it's a ridge of rocks, sand, or coral at or near the surface of the water. So that's what technically, literally, a reef is. You've heard of coral reefs and the barrier reef, which has apparently, it's parallel to the water, and there's like a lagoon before everything else. Reef. Ugh. She did, thank goodness she mentioned this, because I didn't know where to go with this. She did say that this week we watched a really good adaptation of the Agatha Christie novel, And Then There Were None. Now, I've never read any Agatha Christie before. I think I tried reading one of her plays many years ago, but I've never read any of her classic books that millions of bazillions of people have read. So I thought, we started watching, there was the Kenneth Branagh movie of Murder on the Orient Express, right? And we used to watch the Hercule Poirot episodes. Those were fun. My wife liked the Miss Marples. So we get this movie out, and it's okay. It looks beautiful. Wasn't really into the Orient Express movie, but it made me want to go and read the book and see how different it was and what her writing style was like, because we also watched a short documentary about Agatha Christie, and that really whetted my appetite to say, I don't want to ghettoize her as just a crummy mystery writer for a genre I don't care about. Let me see what she is as just a writer overall. And I have to say, Orient Express isn't really doing it for me. It's not, the movie didn't do it for me, the book isn't, but I am going to want to read after this, And Then There Were None. My wife actually got the book out when she was flying around going to her conference, and she needed a book to read. She was in the airport and grabbed And Then There Were None. And so we get this short miniseries movie. It's like 3 1-hour installments that was done about 3 years ago. And the one thing that shocked me about that, and I will get to the word reef, I promise you, is just how incredibly grim and dark it was. Because the Poirot episodes, I mean, there's a murder. There are murder mysteries, somebody dies, boom. And my wife absolutely loves oh my gosh, how am I blanking on this murder she wrote with Angela Lansbury? I mean, she watches it, she can watch the same episodes over and over. It calms her going to sleep. She loves Angela Lansbury. And these are, you know, somebody dies. It takes about half a minute. And the whole rest of the show is her poking around, asking questions. She's got the kind of dumb sheriff helping out. And it's quaint. It's picaresque. There's a murderer. Usually only one person gets murdered. It's like Columbo, where once you get through that first 20 minutes of something horrible happening, then the whole rest of the show is, well, sure, you know, I'm looking for this, and, one more thing, sure. And that's the whole rest of the thing until he actually solves the crime. So it's pleasant. It's, I don't know if I want to say charming, but it's lighthearted and gentle once the death happens, right? Unlike Midsummer Murders that we used to watch, it's another English series, and there... You know, the detective is supposed to be so good and so bright and so experienced and wonderful. And yet it takes about four deaths for him to finally figure out who the murderer is. And, you know, they really ought to get a different detective in there who might be able to solve it after the first. But instead, though, this guy dies and they're asking and they're poking around and they're looking at clues. And then somebody else gets killed and somebody else gets... Half the cast is dead by the end of the episode when he finally goes, you know... By process of elimination, the person left standing is probably the murderer. Okay, but And Then There Were None is something different entirely. I was not expecting this at all. And the idea of the book is 10 Little Indians is a poem that is written, a piece of doggerel. I don't know if it's the original or Christie wrote the poem to go with the book. But all these people, different stations in life, different types of people, are invited to this isolated, tiny little island by a rich person. They're wined and dined, but their host never shows up, and it turns out that they're all there to be killed, one by one. But the other side of it is that they all deserve it. Each of them has murdered and kind of gotten away with it beforehand. And so the whole three-hour piece is... Who's going to get killed next? It's almost like the precursor of the Dead Teenager movies in the 1980s, you know, except they're actual innocents, generally, being slaughtered. Here, these are people, I mean, you feel for them and you kind of root for some of them, but they're all going to get it, one after the other, in different, clever ways. And it does not end happily. You could say it kind of ends morally. In a way, but I was just really, really shy. It's a depressing piece of work. And, you know, you figure, oh, Agatha Christie, she writes these charming mysteries that you just kind of flip through on a rainy night. And then you have that satisfaction at the end of, oh, Poirot has discovered the murderer, everything's fine. Here's like, nothing's fine. This is, you know, Ingmar Bergman has nothing. And on Then There Were None. Nothing at all. It's just really, really amazingly how... dark. It's even beyond creepy. It's just relentlessly sad and unfortunate and grim and ugly. And Christie was nothing like that. She was a sweet mom and grandmom, and she was like, or an auntie, I should say. She was, it's amazing. I don't know where it comes from. Where do writers get this thing that is nothing like what they are in real life? Now, the reason that this ties finally to the word reef in Dave's Big Dictionary, is just that one of the main characters, they've got the beautiful, youngish, she's a maid, she's hired as a secretary there, but she had been hired as a nanny and maidservant and helper to help watch a kid by this family, but she wants to marry this rich, good-looking guy, but he wouldn't be the heir. This kid is going to be the heir. So she's entrusted to watch this kid. Uh-oh. The kid goes for a swim far out on the pier, and there she is on the reef, and she says, oh, go have a nice swim. You can do it. You're strong. And it's a little wimpy kid with glasses like me. You know, he's going to go out there 100 feet and he's going to start drowning, which is what happens to the kid. So she rushes off to save him. Or does she? But point is, one of the main themes of the movie, and she's sort of the star. That character lasts longer than some of the others. So she's constantly going back to, in her mind, the reef, the place where she stays, to kind of watch over the boy who's heading, running off to the ocean to do a little swimming and then drowning. So, you know, she goes to that reef and you see the beautiful water and the ocean, but it's also really tragic and sad. And her idea of what would happen in her life if by some lucky happenstance the poor kid drowns. She gets everything, and she gets the guy she wants, she gets a great life that is way above her station. She would move into a whole different social class and have an estate to live on. She doesn't count on, you know, when a family member dies, that tends to make other members of the family upset. So anyway, the reef was there, and it's this recurring theme of there's no place to go. They can't get off the island, so they're constantly going out to the shore, out to the sand, out to the reef, where there normally would be peace. They were able to get out of that haunted death trap of a house, and yet even there, there's no relief. The murder, the killing, the guilt, and the final admitting of some of those people that, oh yeah, I guess I kind of was guilty of beating that gay guy to death, as one policeman finally confesses to before he dies. Check it out. It's And Then There Were None. It's pleasant, light evening viewing on your TVs. But what else about Reef? Because I was never much of a beach person. And the kind of beach and the kind of place that I like most of all is not so much sand. I think it is more meaningful to me. It's more spiritual for me when I go to a place that has rocks and, you know, jagged sort of those English beaches places where they have reefs and they're safe. You know, you're not going to be 5,000 feet in the air looking down on water and tempted to jump. You're just walking over crags and rocks and getting settled and sitting there and looking out on what is not, let's say, Pacific Ocean-type water, but more roiling, grimmer, grayer, almost rainy Atlantic Ocean water. That may be the most peaceful place for me. It may be the most, the one thing that I would miss most if I never, ever got back to New York ever again. Well, I stay in Colorado where the mountains are amazing, but you don't get much in the way of water. There's something about hitting not only a beach, but a beach with rocks and these different plains and levels, and then looking out on water that isn't quite calm is something meaningful to me. So that's true. The only other thing that reefs can mean for me at all is that when I was a kid, my dad was very into fish tanks. And he had about 8 different fish tanks all over the house, first in our apartment in Brooklyn, and then we ended up keeping them in the basement in our Long Island house, basically because invariably one of the fish tanks would spring a leak. A mop would knock into it and gash something, or just sometimes the glue on the sides gets kind of old. And then you don't want it leaking all over the living room carpet. If it leaks on the cement floor of the basement, who cares so much? But I just remember the creativity of owning a fish tank. There wasn't much. You know, you're watching, oh, fish, they're pretty. They go back, they go forth. They go back, they go forth. They go up for food, bum, bum, bum. They come down, they go up for more food, bum, bum, bum. And then they float on their backs when they're dead. Somehow this is exciting stuff for people who, and I liked it. I enjoyed washing fish here and there. We had saltwater tanks, we had freshwater tanks, but the real creativity was before you put all the fish in, you had the gravel, you were laying down different colored gravel, making it pretty. You have the little Ferris wheel type thing. You'd have, and you make a reef in some weird way. There would be, the gravel wouldn't necessarily be flat in all places. There'd be interest. So you push up the gravel in one place, and then there'd be a rock and a stone, and so it make almost, as if there's kind of a water scene or a beach scene going on. And I mean, that was kind of fun for me. It was not fun 2 weeks later And 3 weeks after that, and 3 weeks after that, 3 weeks after that, where you had to take the siphon and start pushing it into the gravel and start the siphon going and get out the schmutzy water and then put in the fresh water and siphon. And when you had more than a 10-gallon tank, it really is a big pain in the ass. You got a bucket full of bad water that's got to go in the toilet. Then you have to put in the new water very slowly so they acclimate. I mean, everything takes work. I get that. But at a certain point, I just want to watch fish swim around. And I was always most grateful for the plecosomuses, the pleco cats. They're a certain kind of catfish, because they were the suckers. They were the bottom feeders. Those are the ones who would at least help keep algae and schmutz off the glass and off the coral on the gravel on the bottom. So at least you didn't have that much work, because the plecosomus was eating the yuck. You know, I don't have to clean that much shit because the plecosomus ate it. And he's resting gently on the reef. Plecosomuses, they made use of those hills and dales and valleys in the fish tank. All the other fish, they're just back and forth. But if they were on the bottom, that was not good. It meant, for some reason, they were so heavy, not only were they were dead, but they didn't rise to the top when they were dead. They're just sitting there. But plecos were like, ooh, that other fish just took a big dump. Nom, 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 chom, chom, chom. Ooh, there's some algae from a week ago. That's nom, nom, noms. So those are my fish tank thoughts. When I think of the word reef, that's about it. Not a lot comes to my mind in terms of that word. But that concludes this week's edition of this topic, Dave's Big Dictionary.